just sit there for a few minutes and just kind of soak that up. Thank you both. That was beautiful. We know that idea of sending love over the mountains and to the heavens, over the oceans. I mean, I just love that idea. And that's a little bit what I wanted to talk about today. I mean, how do we find that power? How do we find that connection where we can speak and live and breathe and send our love and our joy and our power to so many different places? But of course, we don't start there, do we? I mean, we sort of back up a little bit because life's full of changes. I mean, at all sorts of levels, right? So many different changes going on at a national level, at a regional level, certainly at an individual level. And they don't always have to be big changes. I mean, sometimes they're small changes. I mean, I don't know about you, but for my wife and I, when we say we're going to do the ironing, that means we're going to throw stuff in the dryer. So, talk about a change. I mean, last night, I want to look nice for this morning. And so, I actually got out the ironing board and the iron. My wife was stunned. We do. I wrote a poem. Actually, I wrote it about a year ago at a chaplain meeting. Life slips in through the back door. You don't notice it at first. It's just there, weaving its way through everything. And one day you cry, how did that happen? How did I become this? Why are you in my life? You said yes, unknowingly, inch by inch. Life slips in through the back door. And what creeps in unannounced isn't good or bad. We only ask, does it fit? Does it pull and stretch us in new shapes that we never wanted? Or does it bring us new opportunities unrealized until we look? Life eyeballs you, sizes you up. But if you look away, not wanting to know, then deep down in your bones, you know. You never have to look. You can simply let this vagabond run the show. But then a relationship that you despise controls you. Hate, dressed up as love, leaves you hollow. But the birth of the Christ within, the decision to eyeball life right back fearlessly, to say, my life, I'm in charge, house rules. The birth of the light within is hope, is the moment you realize you were always the shaman. Life presents itself, but nothing stays uninvited. So, from now on, life will use the front door and say please and thank you and ask for permission and leave with grace and stay by special invitation only and wipe its feet. There is some element of truth to that, isn't there? So many times in life, life does slip in through the back door. And I think there are times in our lives when we look around and say, how did this happen? I mean, why am I doing this? Why am I involved in this? Why am I surrounded by these particular people? I think what happens is we go back and forth in life, don't we? I mean, I think that there are times in our lives where we claim what exactly it is that we want. We set goals and we go for them and we're driven, and that's cool. And then there's other times where we kind of hang back and we see what life is going to bring us. I think unity teaches both of those messages, and I think to some degree it can be confusing. I think there's times when we're taught, set your goals and go out there and grab them. And I think that there's times when we say, don't push the river. See what life brings you. And both of those approaches, of course, have their strengths and have their weaknesses, don't they? I mean, because when we claim what exactly it is that we want, that's pretty good. And we tend to be able to do that when we're very specific about what we want and we go for it. But we miss out on some things when we do that. And then by the same token, when all we do is say, I'm just going to see what life brings us, I'm not going to push the river at all, then there are times when we can look around and say, I'm not sure that this is what I wanted. There's times when we just kind of wake up and say, wow, why am I living my life this way? Well, we bounce back and forth our whole life in that way. We're not always sure exactly where we should be at any given time. But we do know life changes, and we do know that different skills, different attitudes, different ideas are called for at different times. But I think that there's times when we wake up and we just say, you know what? What I thought was my life doesn't fit anymore. And I'm not sure why. I thought that I was going to follow the lead of other people, and I like that, and there's a part of me that's bursting out, and there's a part of me that wants to tell my own truth. There's a part of me that wants to challenge the status quo, to be different than I've ever been before. And this is a time. This is a time when we can do that. I mean, there's other ways we know that. I mean, I think some of the ways that we know that is when we're just treading water. And we don't even know what to think or do. It's just, we just feel spiritually empty. And it doesn't even matter if you're very successful. You can be extraordinarily successful. But if we're not living our purpose, what it is we were supposed to do, then we're still just treading water. Regardless of material successes we might have, it doesn't even matter if we've installed a diving board. Okay? We're still just treading water. I think that trying to look at those issues brings to mind that we are really here for two reasons, two spiritual purposes. And so one spiritual purpose is general in nature. It's one that everybody shares. And that's to remember our wholeness, to remember that we are love, to understand that separation is only an illusion. And that is a wonderful purpose. It's just that it's not enough. There's something else that calls to us. And that is that there is a specific purpose, a specific niche that we fill that nobody else fills. And just as Mary Teresa said at the beginning, we are here by divine appointment. We have a certain something that we can give and deliver and manifest and breathe and express that nobody else can do. It's us. And then our job is just to define that uniqueness down to a very specific function so we can say, that's what I do. And then we just jump in and we live it and breathe it. But man, how do we get there? Well, certainly, one of the ways that we can know is by looking at a concept that you've all heard before, the long, dark night of the soul. And we usually think of that as something that doesn't feel very comfortable. We're not exactly in love with a long, dark night of the soul. That was written in 1577 in a poem by St. John of the Cross. And here's what's interesting about that. When he wrote that, he meant that as a very joyful thing, the dark night of the soul. And because what he said in the body of his poem was that in that darkness, you find that divine light within. And by the way, this was written in 1577. We think we're all fancy because we came up with the divine light within, yeah. Which is off by 500 years or so. In that darkness, you get to find the light that is God, the light that brings you back to your soul. And it is that divine light within. I mean, isn't that interesting? To say in that darkness, we can find the grace and the peace and the light that brings us forward, that nudges us forward. St. John of the Cross knew that when we find that divine light within, that there's our soul ready to unfold. Our soul is just ready to jump in, and it's been waiting a long time for us. It's been waiting a long time for us to turn inward and just ask, just pray, just say, this is what I'd like to know or do or be, and to ask for that help. Well, it was only, I think, about 2 years later that the long dark night of the soul started changing in texture and instead became more of a miserable thing. The long dark night of the soul was supposed to be just this terrible time, and you have to just kind of work your way through it. But always try and remember when you hear that phrase, the long dark night of the soul, that originally it was something that was supposed to be filled with joy because you got to see the divine light of God. Well, so again, we bounce back and forth between claiming what it is that we want to do and seeing what life brings us. And so I'll read you something else here. And you've heard this 100 times before. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Something I wrote a couple years ago. Ecclesiastes 3. And we have all heard that. And the question becomes, so what time is it for you? Because there's a lot of stuff going on for us personally. And there's a lot of stuff going on at the church. There's a lot of stuff going on regionally and statewide, nationally, and throughout the world. What time is it for you? Is it a time to speak up and be counted and say to yourself, this is what I stand for? And after the first service, somebody said, I watched you get a little political there. Not my intention. All I'm saying is we look around and we see how we are experiencing things. And there are times in our lives when we do have to say, I want to speak my truth. I want to say this is what I believe in. In a way, Jesus said that in his I am statements. Statements that you've mostly heard before in the book of John. And Charles Fillmore was particularly intrigued by those I am statements. And those are the ones that, like, I am the true vine, I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, those kinds of statements. There's 8 of them. And so Fillmore became very intrigued by those. And what Fillmore said was, you could take the words I am and substitute the purpose of my life put there by the Spirit of God. So let's try those out. He said, I am the bread of life. So let's substitute Fillmore's words, okay? When I am doing the purpose in my life, put there by the Spirit of God. I am the bread of life. What? When I'm doing what it is that I'm supposed to do, I am the bread of life. You mean if I was doing that unique thing that nobody else does, I would provide spiritual sustenance, the bread of life, to myself and others? And Fillmore would say, absolutely. How about, I am the true vine. And what he was saying was, okay, so when I'm expressing the very purpose that I'm here for, that purpose that was put inside me by the Spirit of God, when I'm doing that, I would be the true vine. You mean I'd provide fruit and sustenance, I'd blossom for myself and others. Yeah, that's exactly what it means. I'm the light of life. When I am doing the very thing that I am driven by, the purpose, the function, the reason I'm here, when I'm doing that, I mean, I would be the light of life. I would light the world for myself and for other people. And the answer is, yeah. Because people are so hungry for what you have to give. That stuff that you've hidden inside. The stuff that you haven't shown. And the world is in desperate need for it. Because you are so good. And you have so much to offer. Yeah, so what you offer does indeed become the light of life for yourself and other people. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, come on now, that's getting pretty deep. Yeah. You mean, if I was doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, exactly what I'm here for, I would be the way? What's that mean? It means you would inspire other people to be themselves. You would inspire other people to say, look, that person, Tim, is living his life exactly the way he wants to. And he has the chance of inspiring other people to do it exactly the same way, to be the way and the truth. I mean, if Hank is living the truth of his life, if Hank is speaking his truth, then he can inspire other people to speak their truth. If Wayne can be the life, if other people can look around and see Wayne is living his life exactly like he should, exactly like he's driven from inside, then you mean that would be an inspiration to people to live their truth and speak their truth and be that life? Yeah, that's exactly what it means. I am the resurrection. Wow, come on, that's kind of getting kind of deep, right? If I am living the very reason I'm here, and if I'm expressing it, manifesting it, and breathing it, then what I do is I inspire people to move out of that humdrum life and be resurrected into something powerful and motivational that changes the world. And we do that by living our truth and speaking our truth. And then there's this one that says, it's a little different in format. But, it says, I am the door. I am the gate. And to understand that one, you have to understand that Jesus was in an agrarian culture. And so a sheep round or a sheep fence, a sheep round had one opening in it. And the shepherd slept there in the gate. So that nothing could get in or out that wasn't supposed to. And so when we say, I am the door, or I am the gate, and actually the whole phrase is, I am the door to life. And the answer is, yeah. Well, see, when you're living your truth, when you're being who you are and you're expressing it, when you're speaking up and saying, this is what I believe in and this is who I am, then suddenly You become a door. What's a door? A door is what takes somebody from this spot to a different spot. I mean, you go through it, right? And so what Jesus is saying is, you speak your truth and you lead people from where they've been to where they want to go. You are the door. You are the gate. And then there's this one that has kind of a different syntax. And that is, before Abraham was, I am. It's kind of like, well, wait a minute, that's not even in the same format as the others, and that's right. And what that says is, you mean, before Abraham was, and this is Jesus speaking, so it's supposed to have been a couple thousand years before that. Before Abraham was, I am. You mean, before Abraham existed, that purpose, that reason for my existence, that thing that I'm supposed to deliver on and manifest and express, you mean, that's always been there? It's kind of like, yeah, just as Mary Teresa said, it's part of that divine appointment. And guess what? Appointment time is here. You have so much to offer. You are so perfect. I mean, the gift that you have, that you share, that is so personal, that you're not even totally aware of yourself. That's the light of the world. That's the bread of life. And so what I'd like to leave you with is this notion. Get in touch with what's inside. Get in touch with the Spirit of God. Ask, pray. And I don't know if you're like me, but I mean, when I pray and I want to know what God's will is, I say, you know, God, if you're willing to tell me, please don't tell me in symbols because I don't get them. You know, and could you just like be straightforward? And it's, sometimes that works. So go inside, understand what that light of God is for you. That personal, unique niche that no one else can fulfill because it's you. And bring that goodness to bear. Change the world. Speak your truth. Be all. Be all. Be all. Namaste.